What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to A Dose of Magic podcast, the podcast where we're talking about all things Walt Disney World Resort. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Brett.
And we are back, and spoiler alert, we have a good one for you this week. This is a brand new game, brand new idea that we haven't done in all 3 years of this show. So we're really, really looking forward to it. But before we get into it, as usual, Brett, what is new in your world?
Yeah. Honestly, not much, right? Work is busy. We're about to close the campus, so feeling good about that. Holidays are right around the corner, so going to see family. Already saw some family, going to see more. We're all in all just in a really good place right now. So happy, healthy, as always. Can't complain. So yeah.
I love it.
Doing well. I'm feeling real giggly tonight. And like Ryan said, we have a very funny episode, or at least we think it's going to be. So I'm excited for this one, and I'm feeling ready for it. You picked a good night for it. So how are you?
Good. I'm also in a great mood. I'm ready to rock. Things have been going well. The holidays are upon us. Gifts are bought for the most part, and we are just rocking and rolling into the time of year that is just kind of the fun part, right? Because people unwind. Work kind of unwinds a little bit. You get to see a bunch of family that you haven't seen all year, or you know, only a couple times a year, and then you get to do the exchange. So it's just kind of that spirit, that Christmas spirit is in the air, and it's definitely here as well. But you know what else we have, Brett? You know what else we have here? We have Disney spirit, and we're about to get into it. So we have two news stories, quick ones, before we get into our main topic and our main game. And the first news story is that there's a brand new Little Mermaid musical that's coming to Hollywood Studios in the fall of 2024. Now, thankfully, this is going in that animation courtyard area and kind of repurposing the original area where the Little Mermaid currently is. And this is a brand new show that's going to feature stunning new set pieces, cutting-edge effects, and bold new design that captures Ariel's animation or imagination and emotions. Now, obviously, I just read that from the article directly, Brett, but what do you think some of the like cutting-edge effects could be for a brand new musical?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure, but I'm also not like in that area, but I would like to think that they're probably going to do something with her going from mermaid to human, right? Some kind of ghost effect, some kind of quick switch, something along those lines. So I feel like that's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
And then portraying underwater is a kind of a harder thing to do.
For sure.
Something there. So yeah, honestly, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's good, right? Like this is a news story that makes me excited. I think Hollywood Studios need something in that animation courtyard. So to hear that something's going there and another place for people to go and disperse a little bit, never going to complain here on my end about that. So I'm looking forward to it. And I am a sucker for a good stage show. So I will happily go and see this as well.
Yeah. No, I'm in the same boat. I'm actually happy to hear this news. I love the Haunted Mermaid. Wow.
Well, yo, crazy.
That type of night. I love the Little Mermaid. I love the soundtrack. It's a great story. And I'm really excited that they're making this into a stage show and a musical and kind of updating it with some new effects. I don't know what that may be, but you're right. Maybe some sort of underwater, whether that's lighting, whether that's almost like a screen overlay that has a little bit of an illusion to it. Maybe that is definitely the quick change from the mermaid to the feet. I'm laughing, picturing them just like having snap off basketball pants style, and they just rip off her fins at the bottom.
And that's cutting
all
edge.
Of a sudden, and all of a sudden she just has feet. That would be funny. So I'm looking forward to this one. And again, this is coming in the fall of 2024. So actually kind of around the corner. We don't have to wait too much longer. This will be happening in the new year. So we're really excited for that one. The second news story.
Oh, before we continue, did you see the Little Mermaid remake, the movie?
Not yet, believe it or not.
Okay.
Yep, not yet.
I won't spoil it then.
Yes, don't spoil it because I do look forward to watching it. It's just something that I haven't taken the time to sit down and do, but it is on my list, and I definitely am looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, the only reason I said that is I wonder if Prince Eric now gets a song in that. Nobody asked for it, but he got one. So I'm curious if they would bring that to the stage show. And
interesting.
That's the only reason I brought that up. So continue.
Gotcha. Did you like the song?
Again, like nobody really asked for it. It's just like him speaking that like he saw somebody and now he wants somebody. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I watched it on the flight back from California. So I was kind of dozing off here and there, but it was a good one. I didn't mind gotcha. It.
That kind of reminds me of the Beauty and the Beast when the Beast does his song Evermore. But I actually love that song.
That's a good
so
one.
So that was, yeah. So that is actually a welcomed, you know, song that edition. Wasn't in the original.
Yeah.
Jumping into the second news story, and this is a cute one. There's a brand new baby elephant that was born in Animal Kingdom named Cora. And this is just something that's kind of just something to brighten your day. You know what I mean? When I hear this, it just, you can't help but smile. That's super cute. And her mom was actually born in the park too, which I thought was kind of cool. It's a little generational family being born here in the parks. You know, I don't even know if that's rare. I remember watching the documentary when Disney Plus first came out about all of the animals, but I don't know how frequently or how long now that has been kind of happening.
Yeah, I don't know. But I do know that elephants have the longest pregnancy of any animal. Fun fact of the day for you. Going on just about 2 years. So little Cora has been baking in the oven for a while.
Wow. And that is Brett's audition for the safari driver.
So yeah, anybody, can you imagine if I said that?
So if there's any Disney mole listening, Brett is looking for that safari job and happens to know everything about every animal in that safari, which was, that was pretty cool that you knew that right off the cuff.
I do like animals, though. And I think that this is a cooler fact. Like, Disney strives to say, like, oh, we have conservation efforts, right? And, like, I think it's a whole different ballgame with the amount of conservation that Disney actually does. Like, they truly do make a difference for animals, both in their parks and outside. And I think that's really cool because I think a lot of places are like, oh, we have conservation efforts. And then it's like, oh, we just donate, right? Like,
yeah.
But I think Disney truly, like, takes that to a whole new level. So I think I have a lot of respect for their conservation efforts and what they do for animal and species.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, there's always zoos that are like, oh, you know, we take care of our animals. And then it comes out later that they were like whipping penguins in the back, you know, for not behaving or something. But Disney, you know, from what we have seen both in documentaries by Disney, obviously, but in documentaries, but even online, like I haven't even read anybody who's come out, you know, years later and been like, I worked for Animal Kingdom and the animals are treated horribly, you know, anything like that. So I've never seen anything of that nature. So, you know, you can only really believe that they are actually putting in the effort and the time and the money to make it the right environment. And that shows by, you know, this elephant also being born, which it says was part of this endangerment conservation, you know, mission where their goal is to kind of keep the species going. So it's for a good cause. It's not just for your entertainment. This elephant isn't going to be jumping on, you know, balloons and beach balls for your entertainment. This baby's in a good shape and a good spot.
It'll be locked in a field that you can see on a car that for your entertainment. So it won't be on beach balls, but it'll be locked in a pen majority of its day. And then you as a guest can go and stare at it as it wants to be.
But it's
in
not
its natural
like,
habitat.
It's
and
not
safari.
Like a pen. It's not
no,
like,
I'm just kidding. Yeah.
It's not like some picket fence that like you can just go up and like pet. But it's cool. But if you are, you know, booking that trip or going soon, unfortunately, it's going to be a little bit of time before she's out running free on the safari area. She still needs to be checked and under some care. She also needs time to bond with her family members that are in there before just running free and kind of being overstimulated by that whole atmosphere. So she will not be released just yet out into the public eye, but I'm sure they'll still be posting videos, or you can ask for photos or ask cast members for updates on her if you are there.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, the way I just described the safari, I think is a great way to segue into our second half of this episode. Ryan and I have decided that we are going to brutally explain and like roast rides to their core. It sounds like a really weird topic, but I think how we broke it down, it makes a ton of sense. And if you think about rides in a very different way than they're there for our entertainment, a ton of these rides are actually bonkers and wild. So,
and we're turning it into a game where we are going to go back and forth as usual. We don't know the other person's ride or attraction, and we are going to describe that ride, that attraction to the other person as honestly as we can without, you know, the fluff of a description that Disney may give, and we have to guess which attraction we are talking about. Now, I will give a quick disclaimer. If this is your first episode that you're listening to us, hello, and thank you for joining, but don't use this as a barometer for our interests or our likes or dislikes for rides. We're just having a little bit of fun. We're just finding rides that are easily make funnable, and just having some fun with it. So if we happen to roast your ride, your favorite ride, don't hate us. We're just having some fun.
Yes. Like Ryan said, all for funsies. This whole podcast is always just for fun, except for Splash Mountain. We actually don't like that one. So.
Yeah, Splash Mountain is actually a very touchy subject for me. And now it's going to be Tiana's Bayou, and it still holds that same grudge in my heart. So that doesn't change. But that is not any of my attractions, so no worries there.
I neither.
But Brett, do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
You go first.
Okay. I will go first. Everyone at home, get ready to guess. Get your thinking cap on. What ride could I be talking about here? So this ride, it has to be one of the coolest ideas for a ride that Disney has ever had, but I am fully convinced that this ride was not tested at all. I'm convinced that this ride was built, and then they went to test it, and if they did test it and they got the results back, they were like, ah, well, we already built it, so we just got to keep it in there. And that's because people figuratively and literally have died from it. So if you're going to have a ride that people die on, you probably missed a couple checkpoints on the tests. And the outside of this ride really carries the whole thing. It's really one of the coolest exterior attractions the coolest exteriors for an attraction that Disney has. So that, for me, that is my description of this attraction. Which one do you think I'm talking about?
I could be mistaken. I think there's only one ride that's ever killed somebody. Mission Space.
That is correct. I was describing Mission Space, and I don't think it's somebody. I think it's people, plural. I think this ride has like a very high kill rate compared to other rides. So. And I think that's because it doesn't feel like it was tested. It feels like a super cool idea on paper. And then it was built very cool as well. And it's like, oh, like we were able to really simulate that feeling. We were able to really add that pressure to your chest with the force. And then it's like, let's have a really hard side and a really medium side.
Medium side. That will still hurt.
Yeah. Both are going to be uncomfortable. But the one side might actually kill you. So that is my description of Mission Space. And that's a great guess, Brett, on your end.
Thanks. All right, Rye. Here you go for mine.
Let's hear it.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to get a raging headache from loud noises while getting high as a kite from the smell of gasoline while you wait for about 45 minutes for this attraction? And then once you're on it, it's probably one of the worst things you could ever do. It's probably the most waste of an attraction and your day ticket. And space. And space.
Oh my gosh. So you said they're smelling of fumes. Mm-hmm. And it's the biggest waste of an attraction? Is that what the claim
was? Yes. And space. Attraction and space. and your time.
Wow.
And your money for a day pass. So.
Wow. This one hurt you as a kid. This one, that was personal. That one came
it,
from
it was.
A place like a vendetta. I'm going to guess that you're describing, honestly and brutally, the Tomorrowland Speedway. Because that's the only one I could think of that has a lot of exhaust fumes, or like this, at least the smell of it, whether that's real or whether that's just part of the immersive experience. And it's incredibly loud because there are so many of those cars going by.
That is correct. Accurate? That's the attraction that I'm explaining. I've never had to scream so much in a queue for my people who are standing right next to me to hear me. Like, and it's who thought so that the idea of you having to walk over the attraction to load into it was a good idea? Like, I literally have to stand over top of these cars that are like so loud. And
they
then
just haven't been checked in 30 years.
And they let like a 4-year-old drive, so that you, as a normal 24-year-old human who can drive, like, is stuck behind this person and there's absolutely no way around it. Like, your ride can either last 3 minutes or 15 minutes depending on the car in front of you, and that is the worst option I've ever heard for a ride.
It's so true. Each ride is so dependent on the person in front of
you. On the traffic, which I can't believe I just said that. Like, traffic matters on this ride.
And how is there traffic when everybody's on the same track? There shouldn't be any, like, nobody's turning.
And they all have
a
max
speed
of 7. Yeah. I hate that.
That is hilarious. Well, I'm glad I was able to guess that one. That was a good description of it. All right, I will go for my second one for you.
Go for it.
This ride has to be one of the laziest decisions that Disney has made in probably the last 20 years. And to build something that, one, already exists in your parks is crazy. And then to not improve upon it in any way other than just a reskin is crazier. Especially when it's a newer land and you have the resources to be able to make it more modern and better. And this is the type of ride that if you're playing Roller Coaster Tycoon or a theme park game, this ride comes in like the default batch of rides that you have before you have any money. This is like, all right, we give you 4 rides that you can build anywhere. You know, start with these 4. This ride would be in that pack. It's just such a crazy decision by Disney to build this beyond 2008. Okay. Which one was that?
That was Aliens Rolling Saucers in Toy Story Land.
That is correct. That ride is a reskin of the teacups. And also your local Tilt-A-Whirl at your state park and any other spinning ride that's ever been made from the inception of theme parks. to build
it really
a
is
brand
a bad
new
ride.
Land, to build a brand new land and to not do something innovative in it is criminal, is absolutely criminal.
No, what's criminal about this is that they have this land across the seas, like 6 times better. Like, there are rides across the sea. I want to say it's like maybe Disneyland Tokyo. That there's a Toy Story Land and there's a whole RC car ride. Like, bring that here. That's cool. We don't have that or anything like that. We want that.
Yeah.
And you're like you said, they got the default pack when they could have had the expansion.
Yep, so. That's right. They ran out of money a little bit too early and they said, what could we do? Well, we did the teacups back when we first opened the park, so why don't we do that again? But we'll call it Alien Saucers because they're circular. And then, no, you know what's extra criminal? That this Disney should be put in jail for this part. They have The Claw. And it doesn't move. It doesn't move.
Yeah.
How do, at least, at the very least, if you're not going to have Woody at the front animated, looking at people and waving as they're coming in, at the very least, please, Disney, I'm going to cry. Get that claw to move around as if it's going to choose your spinning saucer thing, and it's almost like you're dodging it, right? That would at least give you, like, the spinning part, like a story or a narrative or a reason. But give me a moving claw. Like, it doesn't even have to go down. It would be cool if it goes down, and it should go down. But give me a claw that at least kind of randomly goes across to different things. Bring some life into that thing, dude. That is criminal, that ride. Wow. Okay, good guess. That was right.
That was right. All right. So, this attraction, I struggle saying attraction with this because it is probably one of the second laziest attempts at an attraction behind Swirling Saucer.
Okay.
I think it is a – I don't even know how to describe it because it's so wasteful in what it does.
Okay.
It's a ride that can fit about 200 people at a time, and it goes in just a circle, right? That's all it does, okay, at about 6 miles an hour. And while you're on this, you see absolutely nothing. And you just go in a circle and you have free roam of this attraction. I don't want to say attraction, of this structure while it's moving. And I think it literally is just so poor. I can't believe there's a wait for it. It was down when we were there, and I don't think I knew it was an attraction because it was down. I was like, wow, that's a really cool statue or replica.
I can't think about what you're describing. So it moves, but it goes only a couple miles an hour.
Yep.
And 200 people can go through it?
Yeah, and here's the kicker. It's fake and it's on a track, but it looks like it's not.
It's, this gives me like,
I'm actually really glad you don't know it, because if our Disney Bowl is listening, take it out of the park. Remove it.
Damn.
It, here's the thing. It gains nothing for this land being there, and it would remove nothing from this land if it wasn't there.
Right. So it's like, it's not.
It's useless.
It's not functioning. Oh my gosh.
But it is functioning.
Right. Like, it's actually, it is working, but it's not doing anything positive for the land.
Correct.
Not adding anything. I genuinely am lost. And I'm in between Magic Kingdom and, like, I don't know, Epcot, but I can't think of what you may be describing. Which one is this?
This is the ferry boat, the Mark Twain or Liberty Square ferry boat.
Oh, the big, like, bell one, like the Southern Bell or whatever.
Yeah,
Mark Twain's,
sure, that boat thing.
That is on a track. That's right.
Yeah, and you just go around the island. That's it. That's all you do. And it doesn't stop anywhere. You can't get off on the island to explore it. You have to go over on a little dumb raft from another line to get you over to the island. And it's just dumb.
I genuinely forgot about that, because I think the last time I was there, it wasn't moving either. I think it was just almost like a visual prop.
Yeah.
Wow. Very good one. That is,
could
exactly
you imagine,
right,
paying $185 for a base ticket into this park, and out of everything, you're like, we should go on that boat ride over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a nice boat. We should check that out.
Get on it. Yeah.
So at, like, waste the very, everything. very least, I'll give a little bit of like devil's advocate that it might be a cool view of the park, but
for 3%, and then you go around trees and you see nothing. Once you get past Big Thunder, you don't see anything. And Big Thunder, you can see from the queue, and then you don't see anything again until you see the Haunted Mansion, which is also next to the queue. So yeah. What park are you seeing? None.
You're seeing backstage a little bit.
Yeah, you are.
Wow. So. Yeah, that does feel like that could be something that is, you know, time to go. Time to update at least. Make it faster or something. Make it like a speed. Give it like some thrill, please.
Something.
All right. My next one here. If this ride had bones, they would be made of literal glass. I think you actually have a better chance of seeing Bob Iger doing a drunk cartwheel in Norway than literally seeing this ride operational when you're visiting and being able to ride this ride. I think that the mechanics come into this ride each morning just to make sure that it's still broken, and then they leave. Because like at baseline, this ride is broken. And if I have to give it any compliment or a good description of it, I would say that the last 10 seconds of this ride absolutely carries it. And it makes you forget that you waited about 3.5 hours for it to come back online to be worth it. Yeah. It's weird. It's like that last 10 seconds gives you amnesia, and like you forget that you were so frustrated that you had to wait so long just to be on it again. And then next trip you do it again.
Yeah.
Which one is that?
Yeah, well, I also think it's so stupid that the car that you create in the beginning of Test Track has nothing to do with the ride experience at all.
Yeah, it doesn't change anything about your ride.
Nope. So Test Track is my guess.
Test Track is 100% right, and that's because it's the only ride that is down more than it's operable. Down more than it's even functional, really.
Yeah.
This ride at its base is broken. And like I said, I swear mechanics come in and they just make sure that that thing is still down. And then they go, all right, she's good. let's head out.
You know what's the worst, the most like tease thing you ever can experience at Disney is when Test Track is down, but you hear the cars whipping around the track, and you're like, yo, it's up. You're like, it's happening. It's up. And then for a good 45 minutes, these cars are whipping, and you're like, open the doors. Like, yeah. You are wasting good rides right now. And then it's going to be down again in an hour because you wasted them all on your test, which you tested for 9 hours.
Like, it's so true. Dude, when that ride goes down, they test it again for at least 90 minutes.
So long.
And it's like a Hot Wheels track where they just keep launching cars. And you hear it, and it's such a distinct sound as it comes across. It's so true, dude. It's so true. Get your hopes up. You're like, oh, they're testing it. It must be a backup.
It's open.
And then
the guy at the front's
like, hey, listen, we didn't get the call yet. We didn't get the call. We can't let you in line. Like,
but I hear it. I hear it.
But you just tested them. It's so true, dude. They waste all of them because they just launched it 100 times. So, yeah, the gears are broken. But we could have had at least like 2 hours of
functional
time.
The gear you just WD-40'd is now rusted again because you launched another 80 cars over it.
WD-40'd. Yeah, it's so true. And that pre-show, dude, that what a tease that whole ride is. That whole ride is a tease from the futuristic like queue line. It's like, oh, this is pretty cool. Those cars don't even exist, dude. They're showcasing cars that aren't real, number one. And then you get to go build your own, and you're like, oh, this is kind of cool. It's like kind of custom. It's to me. I can't wait to like ride this. And then you go to get in the ride, and it's all the same car, yeah. on the same track doing the same thing. But like I said, all of a sudden you get launched at like 60 miles an hour and you get amnesia, dude. That ride, like you just get that feeling of like, that was the best
all
ever.
Okay. Yeah.
yeah. That was the best ever. The wait wasn't even that long. And you got there at rope drop and it's now 8 p.m. and you just got on it because they tested yeah. for 9 hours.
That's crazy.
Wow. Yep. Well, you were correct. That was test track.
Thank you. All right, Rye. For your next attraction, you're going to embark on a journey, right? And you're going to experience this ride that has way too many ride carts on this attraction at a okay. time, to the point where you hit them throughout the ride multiple times. Like you are hitting other ride carts, okay. which should be against so many OSHA violations. Like that, if that's how you test this ride, it needs to stop. And the premise of this is supposed to be havoc and destruction and war. But what these animatronics are doing is just like an average day and just hanging around and not doing, I would say, mild to average activities with absolutely no havoc being caused throughout this attraction. And here's the kicker. This attraction has tons of reference points to it that could be used. But only one is used, and it has nothing to do with this franchise.
Really?
Yeah.
I love your descriptions. They are funny. I am trying to think and visualize as you're describing it. And the first thing that came to mind, just because of the war and havoc and all, is Pirates. Is Pirates of the Caribbean. And you mentioned animatronics doing just very mild movements, which I think about them sitting back with their beer can and just flicking their wrist a little bit mm-hmm. and just doing very simple movements.
Hanging with the boys.
Yeah. Yep. I just got out of a dodging cannonballs and getting splashed by water pumps to watch this guy just hang with the boys in a pit of pigs. and then how about I look at this animatronic every single time I'm on this ride, the woman and the with the broomstick chasing the other person.
Yeah, you can see the gears. Her dress isn't long enough and you can see her pole that holds her up. I see it every time.
When you can see the literal machine that she's on and she's not moving and it's just spinning her fast. And she doesn't even move her arm down to hit. It just has it at a perfect upright. Like she's frozen in time and just gliding like a glitch on a video game. She's just spinning in that circle. And yes, you can see the metal arm that isn't decorated or hidden at all. And that I always look at that. And that always, guess if that breaks the illusion for me. It does. It does.
It does. And you know what also breaks the illusion?
What?
It's how close you get to some of the animatronics and you could hear the hydraulic fluid rushing through their pistons. You go under the bridge where they all are at and you hear t-caw, 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 as it's going through its motions. That breaks so many illusions because I can hear it trying its hardest to keep up with doing it for 9 hours a day.
For literally a 20-hour day. And it's just trying so hard to get the wrist flick of the beer can. Skull, skull, skull. Or the pig's trying to lift his head and open its mouth and you just hear Yeah. So as much as I want to buy into that ride, and I do, again, we're not hating on any rides. It's just all for fun. That ride, the number one thing that breaks the illusion is seeing a metal rod come out of a woman's back and also hearing and seeing the animatronics. And when you look, the boat gets so close to them and you look the one in the eye, if you're on the right side of the boat and you're going under the bridge, you can see, you can almost shake the hand of one of a couple of the animatronics to your right. And you try to look at them in the eye, and the eyes are like googly eyes. They're like, they're just like looking all over the place. They're and you're like, all over the place. You're like, oh, all right, well, that's weird. He's moving and his mouth is moving, but he's he's literally just looking over the place.
You want to know something else? These Imagineers tried probably for about 5 minutes, I'm going to guess, to get the lips to line up with the music. And then they gave up because these things that are quote unquote singing are not even relevant to the words. It's just a standard mouth open, mouth close. And they did not try compared to something like the new Avatar one that literally is like mouthing the words and like Hondo Onaku from like Rise. I mean, from the Millennium Falcon, like those things, I'm like, that's a person, right?
Yeah.
These ones you can tell are from 1963.
Yeah.
The mouths are bad.
Yeah, all of them too. It's so true. We know that this is one of the oldest rides, and many of those animatronics are like the originals.
Don't
we
comment get it. On so, Instagram. We get it.
We know. But it's so true. The programming was mouth equals open for 2 seconds, mouth equals closed for 2 seconds, enter, and that's the program. And so that is hilarious. Wow, what a ride. What a ride. Oh, man. Well, I have one more. Can I give you it?
Go. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. All right.
Then we'll end there. Because I did Mission Space as one.
Nice. Okay.
And then I did the Tea Party as my other. So the fact that we kind of already covered those in a different way is perfect. So you finish this off here, and that'll wrap up a perfect episode.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay. This last ride, man. Whew. The end of the roast here. This poor guy here. This last ride is like the friend that you don't really want around anymore, but you don't know how to like tell him. Yeah, you know? He's like this ride is kind of like the family pet that is like really old and has been alive way too long, but the family just like doesn't want to put him down yet, you know? Like everyone just, because it would hurt too much. It's like, like he's been with us forever. We can't put him down, that type of thing. But it takes up a good chunk of space that could be used for like better things, you know? It's like, it's one of those things where it's like, you gotta like take the heartbreak for a little bit for better things. And if I'm honest, its next refurbishment could be its last, because one more gear break on this poor guy and he's probably down for the entire count. So this is again just one of those sad ones where it's a special place in many hearts, but it's also a sad reality that we'll need to come to very soon. So which ride could this one be about?
So this, I'm struggling here because I feel like I have like two in my mind that it could be. My gut, I'm going to go with my gut. Always go with your gut, everybody. Best suggestion. Is that's Carousel of Progress.
Is that what you were kind of picturing as I was describing many of those things?
It was.
Yeah, and you know what? You're exactly right, and it hurts me to even write that. It hurts me to speak the words out loud. But at the end of the day, these are honest descriptions of rides, and that ride is literally a pet that has been alive too long, and nobody wants to be the one to put it down. And it just continues to chug along. It continues to be in the family events, even though it's blind and deaf. And it just, nobody wants to just own up and refurbish it to be something that's
something else.
Much, could be much, much different, could be completely redone altogether and demoed and used the space. You know, there's endless possibilities of what it could be, but because of the history of it and because of the nostalgia of it and the charm of it, like there's so many things to like about it, but it's also one of those things where it's like, ooh, who's going to say it? Who's going to say
Yeah, I think, and I think the worst part is, like, the carousel of progress, like, the progress is past. Like, that last scene.
Yeah.
Like, we did that already. Like, it's yeah. time to, like, and the refurbs aren't making it more futuristic either, right? Like, it would be different if, like, every time we put it down and refurb it, like, the future is still the future.
Yeah.
But, like, the future was 2010. Like, yeah. You know, yeah, like,
dude, we have, like, microwaves. We have cell phones. We have microwaves
and we have an Oculus, right? Like,
yeah.
So, like,
it's so I agree. True.
Like, how do you, right? Nobody wants to be the vet that has to come tell the family it's time. But yeah somebody has to. And I think you're right. Like, as soon as that stage can't be repaired to rotate anymore, game over, bro. Like, yeah. So.
Yep. Some serious discussions in the boardroom.
I'm
going
to take a guess that, like, the items that were used to build that stage, like, we don't produce that anymore.
Yeah. Right? Like if a gear goes, how do you get a replacement? It's like,
Hey, they don't. Right. GE Works Electric is out of business, like, from whatever yeah. you got this, like, original motor from. Like,
yeah.
And nobody's building that. So I think it's time, kind of like you said.
Yeah. So not to end on a somber note, but that is an honest review, unfortunately, of a very beloved ride. And that is how we are going to end this one. And we hope you guys had fun. We hope you guys laughed a little bit. We hope that you maybe agreed or disagreed with some of the descriptions. And maybe you had your own. So if you did, let us know, because we're going to be posting clips from this throughout the week as well, mainly on TikTok, since this is an audio-only version. But look out for some photos on Instagram too, for sure.
Yes, definitely. And definitely be sure to check us on both those platforms at A Dose of Magic Podcast. Ryan posts mostly every day, sometimes three times a day. His TikToks are killer, so check them out. But yeah, we absolutely had a blast this episode. Different style episode. We hope you liked it. If you did, let us know. But for now, we will catch you all next year.
Or we pretty have much next year. We might do a bonus, like, surprise episode.
Surprise. But
next year tends to be where we're leaning, and it'll be a live episode, so you're going to want to join us for that one.
Yes. So all in all, we will catch you on the next episode. Thank you all, and we'll see you.